a windy open space in Norway.
This looks like the place I'll set up my lookout position on that hilltop over there. My God, it's cold up here. I wish I'd brought an extra blanket for the camel.
The tent of King Werther, a battlefield, Norway.
What is all the cheering about? It hasn't even started yet.
The men are cheering for your majesty. It's an oral token of their loyalty and devotion, sire.
Then why are the other side also cheering?
Oh, they are just glad the marching part is over, your royal highness.
Great aces! A platoon of Waffloff men have outflanked our outside flankers and are headed in this direction.
That's him. Grab him.
Stop! Stand off, you churlish knave! Desist! Help!
Oh, stop. Please stop. It isn't fair. We didn't know it had started and that we weren't quite ready.
Help! Help! Guards! They are snipping the ribbons of our undershirts.
Come on, lads. We'll see you soon there, Ash.
Oh, don't let them bleed all over the Persian floor tapestry.
There's one here still alive, your majesty. Shall I hold him down? Shall I hold him down whilst you gain much fame and glory for your feats of hand-to-hand combat on the field of battle?
Not bad, Sergeant. Not bad. But we have a better idea. Cut off both his legs and one arm whilst we put on our armor, and then we'll take him on in fair and noble combat.
Would that I had 100th part of your majesty's understanding of strategy.
Oh, please. Sergeant, sir, I have got a shit.
Do you think you should go through with this, sire? Don't you expose yourself to enough danger in your own home?
When you allude to the queen, aide, you should wince respectfully. And watch that bloody sergeant at arms. Anybody in our army who can count in backwards hundreds has to be a danger, especially at pay parades.
He seems a very capable young man, sire. Perhaps you should make him paymaster.
Would we send our virgin daughter to study biology in Warsaw? No. When the battle really gets underway, we'll send him on a series of suicide missions. That will equate his fraction.
The same battlefield in the tent of Waffloff.
Tak, tak, your majesty. The early attack has gained us a good psychological advantage. One of the forwards is coming back now to report in.
That looks like one of Werther's ribbons he carries so triumphantly in his mouth.
Well done, that man.
Well done, that man.
Well done, that man.
Splendid stuff.
Splendid stuff.
Oh, we owe all our success to the boss. His plan was brilliant.
Nay, lad. I'll not take all the credit. You had your hand in it.
Our first hero. See that this man gets a pension if he reaches the age of 65.
I'll make a note of it, your majesty.
Werther's men soon recovered their composure. They tightened up their back row defenses and settled into their game plan. For an hour or two following, there was much blood and death. Some were struck deaf by the screams of the wounded, but no real advantage was gained or lost on either side. Only Waffloff's early success separated the teams at the half-time whistle. Brian, your comments on the war so far?
Well, narrator, as we can see on the monitor, most of the men are spending the pause lying down, bleeding. It's been all we expected and more, a spectacle of war at its most professional level of play. These two sides have shown immense skills and talents, and I look forward to a dramatic second-half battle. I'd like to point out to the listeners that although the teams have made full use of the whole area of the pitch, some patches of grass still look good enough to eat. Narrator.
Thank you, Brian. Computer, do you have the correct score?
The correct score is not available. The programmers are engaged on running a small T10 Acorn Computers. Thank you.
The two kings and their barons walked amongst their men, giving tactical advice and urging them on to greater slaughter. A megalomaniac press baron with monopolistic motives invited both kings to hold a summit conference in his offices. So, with great pomp and ceremony, the kings met in a hurriedly erected, but nonetheless splendid, tent in the center of the battlefield. There, between their assembled armies, these two wise monarchs held private counsel with one another.
A tent in the middle of a battlefield. Norway.
Greetings, cousin. We seem to be at the center of yet another historic occasion.
Well, you know us, Werthus. Never one to shirk our regal duties.
More wine. Battle brings out the thirst in us. Tell us, Wolfie, did you get the scroll we sent you from Constantinople?
Why, yes. Thank you for the kind thought. How is the queen, by the way?
We're thinking of sending her to colonize Rocco.
A precipitous undertaking. But let us get down to business. What of our war?
Well, we've seen better. A distinct lack of ferocity, we would say.
Agreed, agreed. And all this screaming? Most unsporting. It frightens the horses. And Odin knows what the people who live round here must think.
Dreadful. It's our responsibility to correct this affair of states, state of affairs. Therefore, we find it necessary to decree that the second half is to be conducted with the sound turned off.
Yes, consider that decree decreed. And we decree furthermore that it is decreed that every soldier is to have one leg tied behind his back to make the battle more entertaining to watch. Are you going to Lourdes this year, Werthus?
The start of the second half was delayed for 20 minutes whilst both sides slaughtered the supporters who had spilled out onto the pitch and started a separate skirmish. Eventually, order was restored, and the whistle of flight after flight of plutonium-tipped arrows signaled the restart of the battle proper. Many were the feats of daring and skill of men from both sides, but it is the name of Helgi that will be remembered for 10,000 generations of memories. Mighty men marveled at his mastery, and then trembled should his temper turn its attention towards them. The great ace Thor had to put his receipt and dispatch department on overtime. Helgi stood in center field, fine chopping anything that came within swinging distance. With his free hand, he stirred the finest cuts in a wok and tossed the now subtle spice scraps to the circling flock of Laris Marinus, who were the replacements for the ravens that usually served as post-battlefield clearers. Despite Helgi's superhuman effort, as evening drew nigh, it became apparent that the forces of King Wafloth were on the wane. And, barring miracles, disaster, defeat, and despair were the only comforts remaining to them. Helgi was covered from helmet to toe guard with the mud of blood and dust, some of which was his own. Directly on landing from a none too kind voyage from Iceland, he had marched with this army through ice and snow for 10 days, with only weekends and Odin's Day afternoons free for sport. He threw himself into the thick of the battle before the ink on his arrival card was dry, and had been thrust, parry, and slashing on a continuous basis for 7 or more hours.
I am beginning to have my doubts about this job. Finding nests for immigrant Turkish turtle doves might be dull work, but at least the tea breaks are regular.
King Bertha's men were making mincemeat of the opposition, and were already looking forward to an early evening dismissal. Waflaf's men sensed that the battle was going against them, and that this was the time to do something desperate. In one last glorious thrust, those warriors bold advanced against their foe. In perfect unison, they mimed a play by Ibsen, indicating punctuation with strokes of the axe and sword. By the seventh act, Waflaf's Vikings had leveled scores of Werther's warriors, most of them succumbing to fatal boredom.
We better put the tent back up. Looks like it's going to be extra time.
Extra time? I will use this opportunity to gain favour with the king. Perhaps then he will let me marry his youngest daughter. Halt! Desist! I bear this silver platter laden with segments of fine orange fruit from the far Orient to refresh the warriors of the great King Werther.
I didn't give you permission to come on. That's a penalty.
Unauthorized entry to field of battle. Penalty against Werther's side. Werther's men to retreat 15 yards. Wuflof's men get the fruit. The squire to be fed to the dogs.
No! Help! I've got no! Some other medicine!
What's this called when it's at home?
It's called an orange. You stick it in your mouth and suck it. It refreshes you. It's called an orange. You stick it in your mouth and suck it. It refreshes you.
Go on. Whatever will I think of next?
Lemons. Lemons.
Lemons? What's them?
Same thing, different colour. Too bitter to suck. Same thing, different colour. Too bitter to suck.
Not like this battle then, hey? This brief respite was almost over when a mighty rushing sound was heard approaching from the north. Then, in a veritable galaxy of sparks, and with retro rockets on full thrust, the Watcher's spaceship ploughed into the ground and skidded to a stop at the edge of the battlefield. Mass hysteria followed. And, when the door opened and 4 motorcycles came roaring out, soldiers scurried for shelter toward every point of the compass. The only ones remaining were the dead, the dying, and Helgi, who was feeling none too well either. Helgi was piled so high around with conquered corpses that he had left no avenue for escape. One of the watchers gunned his machine over to where Helgi stood.
Hello, Jorge. We came to check that you have a current TV license.
Well, I have to admit that I've never seen a suit of armor like that before, and I am at a loss to guess where the weak spots might be. However, let's try this for size. How do you know my name?
Come on, three. This is Amsterdam,
and I've just heard that Magnus B is back in Oslo. So let's go. It's only a few hundred years from here.
Wow! Who are you? And what are you doing here?
I would have thought that a more relevant question was, what are you doing here, killing all these other people?
That's war.
What for?
We heard this all before.
No. Why?
The reason never became clear.
It never will.
What do you mean? Wars forevermore?
Why not?
Don't mock him, sis. Battlefield's concept of territorial defense is resisting having his genes washed.
I am the dirt in my genes.
I don't understand what's going on.
We are representatives of the elders of predominion.
Huh?
Like robots from cosmic control. We race around the universe, sorting out the bugs in the grand plan.
You might as well be sons of the sun for all I know. By the looks of it, your longship is of Hackler's kin.
The truth is that the truth is too colossal for your tiny mind to comprehend it.
Come on, boys. We are ready to leave.
Oh, by the way, Helgi, your cousin couldn't stand it any longer at his wife's house, so he has recovered enough to want his job back. You may as well return to Iceland. Take some sheep with you. Lamb's meat will be a welcome alternative to fish.
Decadence,
mumbled Helgi, but stuffed a spare flock into his rucksack anyway.
A windy hilltop overlooking a recent field of battle in Norway.
You roll up the sleeping bag, Camel, whilst I pack my pens.
How come I always get the heavy jobs, darling?
Natural law and Knesset decree.
I see.
They're never gonna believe this back in Babylon.
And this is the end of the story, which tells of the first meeting between Helgi and Fallowfield.